Well, welcome everyone to another edition of It's Marriage Podcast.
Yes, so, welcome back.
So this is kind of exciting. We have another couple lined up for us. Who is that, Heather?
We have Rich and Eunice Aldridge with us today.
Wow.
And this couple is a new friendship for us. So we look forward to actually learning more about their life and their marriage together with our listeners this morning. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think, what do we have to say to intro everybody about this couple? So my first thought was, Rich, when you hear him, you're going to think, this guy is an announcer for somewhere.
He's got announcer's voice.
I mean, he does. It's really great.
Yeah.
And Eunice, you're all just going to fall in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a dear lady. I know that she is a wonderful cook.
Yeah.
So some other goodies that we will reveal as we unfold this podcast.
Mm, yeah, which is exciting. Yeah. So at the airing of this podcast, hopefully coming in this year, as we look at our marriage ministry here at the First Baptist Church, we're excited to be hosting some more dinners.
Right.
So
we've got four on the books
on the horizon, and we're going to be doing a panel discussion this year,
right?
Interviewing, kind of like we're doing here with our podcast, interviewing two other couples,
right?
Thematic, if that's the word I want to use, right. Talking about communication.
Well, that'll be our first one, right? You have nothing if you don't have communication.
So
ought to be fun.
It should be fun. So, but we want to welcome you to this podcast, and so thanks for joining us. Well, welcome, Rich and Eunice, to our podcast.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is morning. Rainy morning outside, isn't it? So we haven't had rain for a while, so it's good to look outside.
It's a good day for a podcast.
Get the rain. Yeah. So we're just trying to give you a little culture feel of what we're doing right now. But let's dive into the questions. We're glad you guys are with us. So the first one we have for you is, tell us first, how did you meet each other? And then how did you decide to eventually tie the knot? Is the knot tight?
It is pretty darn tight. Yes, we just had our 50th wedding anniversary this month.
Oh,
so
congratulations. So,
right? That's big.
Poor woman.
Big. Congratulations. No, that's our hope.
Yeah.
It's been fun. We met at Gordon College. Mm. I was a foreign language major, and I had just been at the University of Madrid studying, but back at Gordon. And
so Madrid would be
in
Spanish.
Okay. Oh, Spanish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So there I was, and I was, my intent was to return, and Gordon College had said, yes, we're going to accept all those credits. But then they said, oh no, did we say we would? Oh, we forgot. No, we're not going to accept them anymore. So you have to be at Gordon. And I was very disappointed. I had quite an attitude about that. But my roommate Esther said, you know, you're here because this is when you're going to meet your husband.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
So, Rich is smiling right
now.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's smiling a whole lot more now than he was then. But he had recently gotten out of the military. So he was an older student.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was a very brusque looking individual, very serious, verging on grubby, because he had a lot of hair and a Fu Manchu mustache, and that was his appearance. So I thought he was pretty scary looking.
And I wish we could post a picture on the website.
That was all in style back then.
Very much so, but this was to the extreme.
Okay.
And you know, so I
did take showers.
He smelled okay, but
that's a praise.
But every time I saw him, I literally would hide because I didn't want to speak to him. I didn't want to pass him on the sidewalk or anything. So I would hide when he would come by. And but one evening, I went to check my mail, which was at the downstairs level of the school. And as I was coming up the steps, Rich was coming down.
Nowhere to hide.
There was nowhere to hide because he put his arms out on either side of the walkway so I couldn't pass. And he introduced himself and I introduced myself and he said, you know, nice to know you. And I said, nice to know you. And then I ran away and I continued to hide. But one evening we were having open dorms and my roommate Esther was sitting at the desk and Rich had taken some classes with her. So he knew Esther. And he said, when you're finished, you know, you want to go out and get, some coffee. And she said, no, my fiance is coming soon. So, but go up and ask my roommate. She's not doing anything. So I was
great.
I was studying really hard up in the room.
I don't remember that at all.
So Rich, introduced himself again and said, let's go out for coffee. And I didn't have a reason to say no, so I went.
You did it.
I did.
Good girl.
I did. So I found that he wasn't half as scary as he looked.
I think we stayed out till about 2 a.m.
Wow.
Just talking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then after that, it became easier not to hide as much.
Right.
So, but I still kept my distance. But he kind of wore me down, because he would just happen to be where I was going to the library or he would be here and I would,
This was not planned.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they do in Hallmark.
I didn't plan this.
That's what they do in Hallmark movies. Everything's
yes.
timed
well,
out,
it was,
right?
It was kind of
just happened. I would say the Lord had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
So then after a period of time of that kind of almost going out, we seriously started in, going out for coffee, going out for a meal, just walking around. And I got to know him more. And he seemed a whole lot more mature than your average student at that point. And sure of himself and just very confident. 3 weeks later, he asked me to marry him. And I said, yes.
Wow.
So... And
scary 1 week and you're marrying him the next.
Yeah. Well, and it worked out very nicely because, as I said, we've had 50 years together now. So
when you know, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah, that's true.
And I knew because he could parallel park, which
was important.
That was important to me.
Critical
to me.
Yeah.
He can reach tall things on shelves and open jars that are too tight. So, said that's it.
So
he's the one. He's the one.
In fact, when we have had our limited number of spats, I do passive aggressive with the jars. I just tighten them up.
Right.
So I have to ask. For help.
Yeah.
And in order to circumvent that at some point, those long handle things with a little pinchy.
Yes.
I got one of those because I said, I don't need to ask Rich to do this. I can reach it myself. But I found that I have to hide those because Rich uses them to run around pinching me. So it didn't work out as well as I thought.
Should probably edit that part out.
Yeah.
Oh, after 50 years, that's fun.
That's all right. Yeah. You got to have some of those moments, right?
That's
keeps you going.
But that's how we met. And as I said, it's worked up pretty well.
That's awesome.
We've had a good time.
Yeah. 3 weeks. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that to people. But,
yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
We're just in a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There has to be some form of or context of that person being in a situation for you to know.
So true.
All right. Well, share with us your individual upbringings. So where did you both grow up? And maybe some family traditions.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut. I have three brothers.
Hmm.
Had to think there for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest of the four of us.
Okay.
And it's not much. My dad was from Alabama, so I have strong memories when I was a kid of traveling to Alabama when I was a little kid.
Hmm.
Just playing baseball, a lot of baseball. My mom's parents lived in the floor below us. They were first generation from Hungary. And so when I was a little kid, I spoke kitchen Hungarian with him. Not formal academic Hungarian at all, but, you know, just going down to see Edes Mama and Edes Opa. And,
can you speak any at all right now?
Kitchen Hungarian.
So how do you say plate?
Plate, I can't tell you.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, but, you know, certain things like you know, nursery rhymes, you know, Kipanchi, Kopanchi, Haram Labu, Voshanchi, Ketamola, Ishkantolia, Ketamola, Herahop, you know, I can count to 15, you know, I mean, it's nothing, critical, but.
Did your parents teach this to you? Was it important to them?
Okay. When I was, I'd go down, if my mother was disciplining me, I'd run downstairs to my grandmother and she'd yell at my mother. And, you know, grandma would talk to me in Hungarian backwards and forwards.
And, so that's how you picked it up.
So you just pick it up. But, and, you know, they say you learn languages more readily when you're a little kid. And,
right.
That's where it's kind of ingrained.
Right.
When back just before here, when my mom passed away, you know, I would, when we go down to visit her, I would greet her in Hungarian. You know, it would put a smile on her
Absolutely.
Face.
Absolutely.
You know, so it was, it's kind of funny, but anyway.
It's a good memory.
So I always say, you know, I have an Uncle Attila somewhere. That's probably Attila the Hun.
Your claim to fame.
That's right. So that's pretty much it. There really wasn't a lot of traditions as such, but, you know, it was gathering the clans on Christmas Eve, and, because my mom had 7 or 8 brothers and sisters and all their, you know, cousins by the dozens. Pretty much it. And I got out of there when I went into service, and then haven't lived in Connecticut since 1972.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'd say Hungarian alone is a tradition, right?
Yeah, you know.
Good food.
Right? Yeah, well, different food, that's for sure.
Right. Knowing where you came from. All right, how about you, Eunice?
I was born in San Antonio, Texas. So the beginning of my life was in Texas, and then my father got transferred up to New Jersey, so we moved up north. San Antonio is a big Spanish-speaking community.
Mm-hmm.
And my father's family trickled over from Spain. My mother's family trickled up from Mexico. And we attended a Mexican Baptist church. My grandmother never, she understood English, but she never really spoke English. So we were in.
Oh, interesting.
So Spanish was the language of the house.
Yeah.
And that's what I heard. My two uncles were pastors. One was a pastor of his own church. We didn't attend that church. We attended another one. But then the other uncle was a street pastor. He would just get up on a soapbox and preach.
Really?
Huh? And their best friends were pastors. I really never realized that people were not Christian. Because that was just the environment.
It was your circle of life.
Yeah. So we went to.
It's also Texas.
Yeah, pretty Texas. So we went to the Sunday morning service. We went to the Sunday evening service. We went to the Wednesday prayer meeting service.
Wow.
My aunt was the organist in the church. You know, we were very seeped in the church.
Wow.
And I grew up with wonderful models, mentors. My grandmother, I think, was the biggest one. She would read to us, but only from the Bible. That's what she would read to us. You know, when she was tucking my brother and I into bed at night, that's what she would be reading to us.
What a beautiful thing!
Yes.
She was very organized in how she prepared her life. She would set aside a time and she left her bedroom door open so we could see what she was doing. And she would sit there and she'd read her Bible and she would pray, and that was her time. We knew that we had to be respectful of that, but she was a really good example. But as I think that I was just so comfortable with everybody around me being a Christian and knowing what God, what Jesus did for us, what God does for us, that I just kind of figured, oh, God really loves my grandmother. He must really love me because, you know, I'm the granddaughter, so I'm in. And it didn't occur to me until I was older that that's not the way it works. You know, God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. You know, so later in life, I came to that, you know, conclusion myself. And I took the giant step to actually realize what is important here and who is Jesus. And my name is on his, in the palms of his hand. So that was a changing life experience for me. But
what an amazing foundation,
It was.
You know, that the Lord allowed you to grow up in. And then you did accept him as well. So, wow. That is a great tradition.
That was a great tradition.
You know, I've said that many times with my own family because I was raised by my mom and my grandma. My biological father was not in the picture. And I've often said the greatest thing that they could pass down to me was taking me to church, exposing me to the things of God, because I wanted it like you. I wanted those things. So, all right. Okay. So what were your expectations for marriage and what shaped those expectations?
Your turn.
Well, expectations, I think probably the best word I can come up with expectation would be friendship or partnership. I always, if anybody ever asked, you know, how long you've been, you know, how long you've been married, and I tell them, they say, "Oh, great day, you're a dinosaur." What do you attribute this? I said, "Well, I married my best friend." So, there've been rough spots. Yeah, of course, but you know, it's not. You're not going to panic when you have a disagreement on something. So I would say, you know, friendship, partnership, and through hell and high water, you mutually support one another. Yeah. I would say that would be that would be it.
I think we had a chance to observe people also in a marriage situation, some which were very sound and admirable, and some which were pretty difficult.
Bad examples too,
So good and bad examples.
Yeah. And you learn from those, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Not, you know, it's not a bad thing,
right?
But it's just an observation that it helps you make decisions for yourself.
That is something I will never do.
Right.
You know, if you see.
Right.
And you don't do it.
Yeah, I think we all have ideas of what marriage is going to look like. And then we get married. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. But as I'm sure you guys already have testified to, if you keep working at it, then down the road, that happens. You are friends. You are you have each other that you can rely on in the tough. I feel that as well.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny too, because, you know, the old cliche is, you know, finish one another's sentences.
Right.
Well,
right.
Yeah. And then a lot of times we'll be thinking the same thing.
That's great.
Wow. You know, or we'll just make a comment and you just say, "I was just thinking that."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. So We're starting to do that.
Yeah.
He'll say something. I'm like, I cannot believe you just said that.
Yeah.
I was
exactly.
thinking that.
Yeah. That's so much fun when that happens.
Yeah. And there is, biblically, there's a unity of spirit. There's a unity as God does make us one. And I love just hearing what you guys said about being friends. And how do you become one as a couple if you're not friends?
Exactly.
Or if you're just sharing a house together, whatever the case may be. And at the same time, a great testimony. And so you guys are friends, but I want to ask the next question. It says, how have you dealt with conflict and disappointment in your marriage?
A sigh there. I think that we've come from I can only speak for myself, I guess. I come from a different observation of my parents on how conflict was handled with them. And the biggest thing with them was if there's an argument, you just are silent. That was not the case with Rich. Rich explains everything.
In Hungarian.
And in an interpretive dance and everything.
I do best. I express myself best in interpretive dances.
But he will outline the pros, the cons, the...
Do you have a whiteboard?
Should have had one.
Next, our next...
T-charts.
But that's the kind of, that's the way Rich, would approach a conflict. So.
Vociferously. Often.
But makes things very clear. Extremely clear. So.
And that's helpful.
Yeah, it is very helpful. So it's like the yin and the yang.
Did it pull you out?
Yeah, I think it did. It did. And it made me a whole lot clearer in expressing myself, I think.
Well, it's not like that was a plan. I mean, that's just kind of hardwired that way. I think doing it that way, you see what's at stake. And you can at least establish the basis for a compromise if you have to. But you know, the conflicts and disappointments you may have in marriage, it's pretty much, well, it's along the same lines of the disappointments and conflicts you have in a work situation or with your kids. It at least gives you a basis to figure things out, and you're not going to go off, and put your fist through a wall or something, although that has happened once or twice. it gives you a basis to go forward with the next step and work each other out and kind of discern how your partner is thinking or where they're coming from. Or is this just the issue, or is there some peripheral point that is affecting the way Eunice might be thinking or feeling about a certain subject? That doesn't always work because, sometimes you just put your head down and run through a wall instead of just punching it.
But you're touching base, or you're touching on something that I think is very important that you don't get unless you are years into your marriage. Starting to understand, why are they responding the way that they are? You care to do that.
Yeah, and I think that we started out luckily with the same fundamental basis of our marriage, because Rich grew up in a Christian believing church family. So did I. So we had that foundation that we were able to fall back on and remind ourselves that we do have that foundation. So now we're going to build on that and go forward, because we have lots of promises that have been extended to us that we can grasp onto. So that has, I think that's been the light at the end of the tunnel right there. You have that, you're promised that, you're, the Holy Spirit is in you, working with you. You're not by yourself, go forward.
That's what you do. That's so true. Amen. Can you share, I'm going to the next question because I think you kind of transitions well. Can you share how the Lord has been present in your marriage? Now, you've shared a lot. You've got the foundational Christian upbringing. And it's a whole nother story, as we all know, that once you get married, it's just like, am I really like that? Or how has the Lord been evident?
I think that when we first got married, the early years of our marriage, and then when the children came along, things kind of got pushed to a side because you're so worked up in raising your family. So all good intentions were still there, but it just it became lacking, which I'm very I'm sad that it happened. But as far as Bible reading, as far as praying together, that, we got to do it, but not necessarily.
Not consistently.
As we could have done. And, anybody who's raising a family now, boy, you better put that on the top of your list of things to do. Because especially in the times now, kids are just bombarded with so many things, and individuals are too. But now, we are so much more consistent with the habits that we are developing over the past, you know, number of years. I do my by myself reading of the Bible in the morning. Rich does his by himself reading and praying in the evening. But before we walk out of the house in the morning, we always read the Bible together. We don't necessarily have a time at that point to pray together, to, you know, to go forward, because we'll do that on our own. But as far as reading scripture, that happens every day before we leave the house.
Wow.
And I just think it sets the tone. It, you know, it really sets the tone of the day.
There were times, you know, just reflecting back on that, particularly with the kids, it certainly wasn't consistent, as Eunice pointed out. It wasn't consistent, but there were times when my daughter, for example, was very hesitant about something occurring or something, some task she had to do. And I said, well, did you pray to God? Well, what's God going to do, she says. I said, let me just show you over here. And I showed her in the Bible where Moses had some issue. I don't remember what it is now. And was doubting. And that's what Rachel was doubting at the time. Yeah. And God's response to Moses was, is my arm too short? And for a little kid, you know, 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, they're very literal.
Maybe click for her, is my arm too short? And I'd stick my arm out. Is my arm too short? Hey, God's arm's a lot longer than mine.
Yeah.
How long do you expect? How long do you think God's arm is? I don't know. Around the house? I think it's longer than that, Rachel. Think of maybe from here to Grandma's house. Maybe might even be longer than that. And so just trying to get that idea of God's presence, of God's help.
Yeah.
I think at least some of those basics were instilled. You know, it did my heart good the other day when we were at their house and Rachel had a verse in Ephesians up on the refrigerator.
Nice.
You know, so I don't know how deep her commitment is. I know she's a believer. Mm-hmm. I know her husband's a believer. And that's my greatest hope for my kids and my grandsons.
Amen.
You know, to become part of the big family.
Right.
And then it's encouraging to know that for whatever our attempts are, and parents, you're never going to do it completely right. It's just not feasible. Mm. But to be part of a building block is always the most you can hope for, right?
Yeah.
And because when Michael was memorizing verses, Rich would...
just remember that.
Yeah. Like graffiti became big time in his bedroom. Rich would wallpaper the bedroom.
Yes. So it was down to the...
just the studs and the, you know.
The sheetrock.
He drew different things like pictures of things to help Michael remember different Bible verses.
Oh, nice.
And
there's one verse that the word in the verse was purpose.
Uh-huh.
So I drew a dolphin. The porpoise.
That's a connection.
Just as what do you call it? A mnemonic device to help.
Right, help association.
And he remembered them.
But just like that, just to be able to instill a little bit. You never know what's going to stick, but you know, it could help.
Yeah. My encouragement always is Isaiah 55:11, that so shall my word be that goes forth from my net mouth. I'm probably not saying it quite right. But it won't return to me void. And so Heather and I not having children, but at the same time, try to encourage parents that the word does not go void. And you can look back on how you did your parenting. And as long as you proclaim the word of God, it doesn't go void. It was spoken to me at 10, and it stuck with me till I was 20 years old when I accepted the Lord.
Yeah, because we don't know what the journey is that the Lord has everybody on.
Yeah.
And we've seen it in the youth group. We've seen the kids who have all the answers, and we've seen those who don't.
Yeah.
And how the Lord will use both situations to glorify himself, whether that's down the road or some out of the gate.
Hopefully sooner than down the road.
Yeah. That's incredible. I always pray on the way when I'm driving to work, and I pray for my kids, I pray for my grandsons.
Yeah.
And God will honor that, I'm sure.
That's absolutely right.
And he hears you.
Yeah, maybe after I shuffle off this mortal coil, I don't care. It's in his hands, so don't worry about it. So,
I like that. All right. So this really ties to what you guys are already sharing. But what have you learned from each other?
I have learned from my bride listening skills and patience. Mm. I'm not a patient person. I'm still not a patient person. I get frustrated real quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm not the guy I was even 10 years ago.
That's so great. So
that's pretty much it.
I think probably the biggest thing for me is to have more confidence in myself and to be brave. He makes me be brave.
That's and great.
Try things that I didn't think I could do.
Right.
It's been working out pretty well. but I think I attribute that to the fact that as I'm trying something or if I'm, you know, going forward with something, Rich is, he is a fabulous cheerleader. He really is.
I look great in skirts.
Yeah.
You're a life coach. Put it that way.
He just is. And he says he's not very patient, but boy, is he patient with me.
He loves you and he sees the good in you and wants to pull that out.
And I just really appreciate that.
Yeah. We all need that.
And being organized too. Yes, he's made me be more organized. For example, if we are invited to do something or there is something that is scheduled, the schedule is, we're going to start at 6 and we're going to be finished at 7:30. Okay. It's going to start at 6. That means you are there 20 minutes before. Because when you're going
to have anything to do with the military,
I'm wondering.
I think it is.
So it's 6. That's when the first word is going to be spoken. You don't come in at 5 after 6.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And if it's over at 7:30, you're getting up and walking out at 7:30. That's the way it goes. And our kids used to think that was so funny because we would get to church before anybody else, and we'd be sitting in the parking lot. And they would say, we are here before God is here.
Before God.
Yeah. And, it was just,
That's great.
But I think that's what they do too.
Well, that's actually a really great thing. And I'll tell you why. Because everybody is on a time schedule.
Yeah.
So you're respecting the fact that everybody has a schedule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I've said this for a lot. My mom, I believe, was born late. I love you, Mom. Not that she's listening to this, but everything was late. We were late to school. We were late to church. And it was like the embarrassing late. So it is funny because my brother and I, we are at least a half hour early.
Yeah.
I'd rather be there waiting than be late.
When we've had contractors over to work on the house in those areas that I can't do anything, and then we're asked to rate your experience with these guys. I will always indicate the guy was here when he said he was here.
Yeah.
It wasn't contractor time.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
One guy pulled up one time, it was 10 minutes to 8. He said that he'd be here at 8. He waited in his truck for 10 minutes until it was 8 o'clock, and then he came and knocked on.
Wow.
That impresses me.
I agree.
You're going to get kudos from me when you do that.
Right.
So anyway.
Right. It matters. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we know you have children.
Yes.
So if you can tell us how many and how did you both together engage with raising them? I know you've shared a little bit about that, but was there a good guy, bad guy? Who did discipline? Well, who?
We have two.
Okay. Boy and a girl?
Our daughter is the older, and they're 2 years apart. We did good guy, bad guy when the... It depended on the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If Rich, for different parts of his job, sometimes he'd have to go away out of town for seminars or training. So I was both good guy and bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then different times when I was out of the house for one reason or another, and Rich was home with the kids, all of a sudden he was all good guy. I would come home.
Sugar daddy's home.
Yep. He was the playmate. I would come home and every pillow in the house was on the floor and they were running around with bowls on their head.
Look at the colander.
Yeah, colanders and bowls on their head, smacking each other with...
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Because it was just fun. So then I got...
Well, they still remember that.
Though. Well, they do. Yeah. They probably had concussions. But as far as, you know, so that was, Rich got to be the playmate frequently.
But not always, though.
Not always. But
who did they know was going to draw the line or discipline them?
It was Rich. Yeah. And, wait till your dad comes home.
And I never said that.
You never did.
But it was a feeling. But one thing I thought was very important is we always had a meal together. We always had dinner together. Mm. And during that time, if there had been behavior that was not good behavior, that's when it would be addressed right then and there. Mm. And we always kind of thought, you know, there was a young teenage time when there's a lot of eye rolling and, muttering under your breath kind of stuff.
Right.
And trying out different vocabulary that was, sketchy.
Yeah.
That's when it would be addressed then.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the bottom line was, I was glad that they were doing that at home. Mm-hmm. When we could see it, because then we could say, you know, you did this, that was inappropriate.
Hmm. Right. And here's why.
Yeah. And so that's when we were able to just kind of, the rubber meets the road there. Hmm. And
I'm just thinking of Rachel in particular. And I think when she was in either late middle school or high school, and of course, you get peer pressure at that point, you know, with friends and doing this and going there and doing some other things. I told her, you could always use me as the bad guy. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you could tell your buddies, yeah, I'd like to go with you, but if my dad finds out, you know, he will tear my head off. use me as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Even though she said,
that's her protection.
I don't want to go. I really don't want to go, but if I don't go, I'm going to look like a jerk.
Yeah.
Use me as a bad guy.
Right.
And, you know, that gives her an out. And I think she was relieved that she had that kind of safety valve.
Right.
So that I think was helpful. And poor Rachel, I remember her telling me, I hated when I did anything wrong and you had to talk to me, because you would talk to me and talk to me and talk to me. And I just wanted you to shut up and I would never do it again. Just so you wouldn't talk to me anymore about it.
Well, there you go.
So I don't know. It must have made an impression.
Yeah. Our daughter is the only one who has kids. And a couple years ago, she called to speak with me and she said, I just called to apologize.
Oh, right.
And, which I thought was hysterical, because now her kids were getting to the age of pushing all her buttons. And she said, for all the times, and then she listed everything that she remembered doing. She said, and this is how you reacted, or this is what you said.
Mm.
And I'm just calling now because what goes around comes around, and it's, it's here to disturb us now.
What a blessing for you guys to hear that.
It was it was really nice, but I had to, turn aside and laugh because.
Right.
But that was very nice to hear.
How the Spirit of God works in our hearts. Yeah. It's a broken and contrite heart, and sometimes our hearts aren't broken until we fully experience, what they should be broken over. So, another thing too, having meals together.
That's important.
And we're in a generation now that is so busy that they don't. And what a connection that is for maybe 20 minutes a day for a family to be together.
Or put them on your cell phones.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So this is for both you guys. What are you both passionate about as a couple?
Well, this was a tricky one. Because we can be passionate about separate things.
Yeah.
But then, and I was just coming up with silly things that I was passionate about. So Rich said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about the Red Sox. No, we're not going to do that.
She keeps score of every Red Sox game.
I have 24 years of score books.
Wow.
Okay, this is a fun fact. He said we were going to reveal. Yeah.
Okay, she got Jerry Remy's rookie card.
I do.
That's so great. I love knowing that.
So that's for me. Yeah. But
well, that's a passion.
That's a passion.
Absolutely. Rich, do you share in that at all, Rich?
Well, at first he was the one who wanted me to sit and watch baseball.
Well, yeah,
and I never was interested. Never.
I've been watching baseball since 1956, yeah. Or listening to it at least then.
Yeah.
And my heart would break every year that you know, the Sox
didn't make it. Yeah.
Didn't make it continually. Then all of a sudden in 2002, because some kid in Eunice's class looked like Manny Ramirez.
She wanted to watch?
Yeah.
And now it's an addiction and I kind of.
And then Rich will leave. He'll leave the room and go read something.
I'll go read or something.
She's still in the middle of watching the ball game. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. Cause they're a total different team right now for sure.
And by himself, Rich does the beekeeping. And he trusses himself up in his bee suit and he goes up and he talks to the bees. And
This is a thing. This is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say passion. I'd say I'm more zealous is kind of a synonym, isn't it? I would be zealous about taking care of bees and my other couple of hobbies.
They would call that very passionate.
Really?
Very passionate. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I wouldn't sacrifice that for anything else. You have to have a perspective on things.
You do. Balance.
Even if you're passionate about it.
Yeah. So
then when we were thinking about things that we appreciate together, and it kind of boiled down to the community of our friends and that are believers and some that aren't necessarily believers, but like sort of are searching kind of people. Just the emphasis we put on cultivating those friendships—that's
beautiful—and
maintaining them, because they are important, they give us structure, and we help give them structure, as well. Mm. So
there's joy in that.
That's what we kind of came up with.
That's so great. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
That's so true. All right, last question for you guys: what has surprised you about marriage?
we've lasted this long, maybe. This poor woman put up with me. I'm kind of kidding.
It surprises me that I'm still discovering things about Rich that I never noticed before.
That's probably a good thing.
Do you think you've changed over the years and you're noticing that, or it's been there?
I don't know. That's a trick question.
Yeah, right. There are
no distractions anymore. Gotta put up with me.
But I think that I always appreciated his sense of humor, but the man is out of control. He is out of control. He makes me laugh so much. Every day that, you know, when he's going off to work or leaving the house, he dances in the car, you know, the different, whatever music is on the radio, he'll dance into the, and I hope the neighbors really appreciate it.
Because I make them laugh too. Yeah. Man,
right.
That's my job.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You
know? That's so
but,
true.
Put a smile on someone's face. That's worth the day.
But he just keeps me amused. He's an amusing kind of guy.
Mm.
I think I found that to add a little bit more seriousness to this, my goodness, I think I've noticed the benefits of compromise. Mm. And it could be a title of a book, I guess, The Benefits of Compromise.
Absolutely.
That, you know, it's not all about me. It's not all about what I want to do. It's because I can't understand how people behave that way. You know, they sacrifice the long haul for something immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I'm not saying that I've been a perfect husband for this. I certainly haven't. I failed miserably so many times. I mean, you know, I roll out of the rack at 4 o'clock in the morning, the cold gray light of dawn, and I rehearse and relive every bad decision I made in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not in the forefront of my mind, but I do think about those things and just come to realize that my bride is my biggest blessing. I'd be a wreck, you know, if I wasn't married to her. I'd be totally, I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have the relationship I have with God that I have now. I wouldn't be in a believing community, I don't think, if it wasn't for Eunice. I probably would have been married and divorced 20 times by now, you know, if I wasn't married to this woman.
Wow.
It's just, I can't really put it into words. It's more.
I think you just did.
Well,
beautifully.
I can't.
Beautifully
it's,
said.
It's more heart. Yeah. It's more head than heart, almost, because I can kind of get it. But I don't know.
Wow.
This is why God created marriage.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. To listen to you guys and to hear that your union has pointed you to Christ, has encouraged each other to grow in Christ. And so it's just amazing.
I think that God has just become so much more real.
In your marriage.
Yes, wow. Just so much more real, feeling his presence the time.
I think too, that's a sign of the times, just what's going on in the world, in our country and society. I mean, you have, what is the great fortress? What is your hope? What is your, what is your bastion against all of this? And it's gotta be the faith. It's gotta be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's gotta be God. And the more you're open to that, the more you realize this is my only hope. Then the stronger you get in that, the more you go to God, the more he comes to you. I mean, that's scriptural. You know, it's not all, you know, fireworks in the sky and miracles and all that, but you do have that assurance, that quiet assurance you have in your heart and your head, this is it. Did not make a mistake.
And as a couple, you get to share that together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is such a, blessing. I think for any marriage to cherish that and to not overlook that, to be able to be going the same direction, and that direction is towards Christ. So, wow.
Yes. Nicely done, nicely guys. Done.
So we're going to transition here.
Yeah, you're not done.
Oh,
you're not done yet.
You're not done. So we're going to move into what we call the lightning round.
Uh-oh.
You guys haven't seen these. These are just one word. We're looking for what, honey?
This is a fun time. So, right, we've got a few words, and we are going to put them out there. We just want you to share first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
No, this might be scary.
Yeah, I'm scared now.
This is real.
Breathing in the bag now.
You better be prepared to edit, Mark.
Yeah.
I think they kind of have answered a lot of these.
Really have.
So.
They really have. So you go first, hon.
All right. So we've already kind of gone there. Morning or evening?
Evening.
Okay.
Morning.
Morning. Right. Favorite book?
You're supposed to say Bible.
Well, no.
Besides the Bible.
Bible is, you know, you base your life on that.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Watership Down. I don't know.
Okay, what's this about?
Is it a series? No, it's just one.
Okay.
It's just one. It's just a community of rabbits.
There you go.
Yeah, and how they structure their little lives.
That's good.
Love it.
Wow. I have two, Band of Brothers by Stephen Ambrose and Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings.
All right. You have a lot of listeners who are fans of those.
Every November we have to watch all the series.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Baseball.
Red Sox.
See, we already know.
We kind of covered that. Right? Yeah, which is good. Heaven
is a wonderful place.
Rich is looking at her like, what did you just do?
I can't wait until the sky is rolled back. That's amen. What I just, I can't wait for that. Yeah. Amen.
Heaven. Hmm. Watching reruns of creation.
Mm. Oh, mm-hmm. That's a thought, right?
Yeah. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Having answers to questions that I still have.
Yeah. And will we know instantly, or are we going to spend eternity asking?
I don't know.
There's not,
the things that we don't know.
But I hope it's on the
Max screen. Yeah. right?
And sit there with popcorn. And
right,
just watch
for
it
all of
again.
Us who didn't get to see it unfold.
Have a sit down with Paul.
I have thought about that.
Yeah.
We're getting to be able to see all Moses and think about that.
Yeah, Paul's the first guy I want to talk to because I have questions.
You have questions.
I have a lot of questions.
And he's just the guy to answer. Yeah.
All right, patriotism.
It makes me cry. Mm. It really makes me cry. You know, anytime that topic comes up, it's just, you feel it in your heart.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Patriotic songs make me cry.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
The third most important thing after one's faith and one's family.
Yeah.
Is patriotism.
Dedication to your country.
Yeah.
Not your government. I want to make that clear. Yeah. Not your government, but your country.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
That's so true.
And we're not seeing a whole lot of that, are we?
Truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Last one. Favorite place.
Place?
Yeah. Favorite place.
Campground Beach in East Ham.
I was just going to say that.
I knew you were going to, so that's why I said it first.
Okay.
What makes it special favorite?
It was just the environment was so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just sit on the beach and do nothing. Go to your favorite places to eat.
Read your rabbit book.
Read the rabbit book. I expand to dog books too. Just a nice place that, with no demands and just pure relaxation.
Are you still able to go?
We haven't gone.
Haven't been a couple years.
A couple years, but I think we're going to go in probably next month.
Do you take guests?
Why, do you want to come?
That's a joke.
We have done that.
Yeah, we're all about when we get away, it being something that's no demands, no schedule.
Right.
Or it's not a vacation.
Yeah.
See, I find that same environment where we live now.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's not, and I'm, you know, when I was working, it was a job where I had to have a little decompression.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
you know, I can read and sit out on my back porch right now.
Right.
Same thing I did at the Cape.
Yeah, which is great.
It's a blessing. Well, you guys did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
You are done. We can't thank you both enough for sharing just a little glimpse
into your life,
success of 50 years.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
Well, what a wonderful time with Rich and Eunice spending with us, just their years of marriage and seeing how the Lord started in their life with their family and then transitioned into their marriage and raising their kids. And what a rich blessing for us to hear from them. I want to close with Romans 12, starting with verse 9. I think it just ties into the life that they've shared together as a couple. It says this: let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And so, once again, we just thank you guys for joining us for this podcast.